All right, welcome to the Sagebrush Shit Show. This is episode 12. Today we are pleasured to have our main man, Travis Dowdle. He's been wanting to get on here for a second, so.
What's up?
Welcome, Travis.
Glad to be on the show.
This is Grant Bess. We have Sam Jackson.
Indeed. Happy to be on for our 12th episode, season 2, episode 2. That's how you're keeping track, Grant. For some reason or another, has a problem with differentiating seasons, but again, we'll determine that at a later time.
So. Episode 12 of season 1 is what we are on right now. Anyways, we are going to focus on the USU Student Academic Fee Board today. Before we get there, we'll talk about a few other things. Sam, give us the update on basketball. I think you're the only one that's been there for the last few games.
Yeah. So on Saturday, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to the women's basketball game. They took on the Nevada Reno Wolfpack. And although they are in last place in the conference, they did lay a beat down on Nevada. They won by about 20 points, so it was a very exciting game. Was slightly disappointed if anyone viewed my Snapchat story. There were absolutely zero students in the student section when we got there during the first quarter. Like, when I say zero, I don't mean like 10 or 12. I mean like none. Like, behind the basket was 100% empty at the herd. Anyways, so it was a good game. It was fun. Talked to the players afterwards. Got a free t-shirt out of it. It was fun hanging out with the band. It was a great game. I really encourage anyone, if they have time. There's a women's basketball game tomorrow night at 7. I think they play Boise State. I'm not exactly sure.
All right.
But great experience. On the men's side, we have Wyoming game on Saturday night. Should be a good game. Coming off of 2 losses, so they will be looking to get off the schneid on Saturday.
Since last episode, we had a game last Wednesday, which we lost, unfortunately. But you know what? Keep watching Aggie basketball. Things are going well. They're not as bad as they could be.
That's motivation.
You know what? They're fourth in the Mountain West, so
it's true.
You know, could be a lot worse.
Could be worse. Over the last week, of course, Utah Mormons mourned the death of their prophet.
Absolutely.
Friday, large funeral, large police presence in Salt Lake City, quite the motorcade. Pretty big on the Utah news side. And this morning, new prophet Russell M. Nelson was now announced, and in somewhat controversial move, the first presidency, or the governing body, was reorganized, bringing Dallin H. Oaks onto the first presidency, removing Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Some people are a little worried about it. Oaks has been known for being a little bit more of a hellfire raiser. controversial remarks. Uchtdorf was known for a little bit calmer side. But regardless, it's not going to change that much, I don't think, on the LDS Church side and how it affects Utah politics or anything else.
If you're expecting radical change from the LDS Church after this, you are sorely mistaken.
Sam's got a little weird smile going on.
I wouldn't call it a smile, but anyways.
Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. You know, honestly, I'm a historian.
Let me hear that hot take.
Martin Luther King is my go-to. I did a massive project on him in the 8th grade, and we we fundraised like $2,000 for a bust to be made, and then we had like 12 paintings of the civil rights era painted, and we went and presented to schools. And so for a long while, I've had a pretty good opinion, and I just really love the civil rights period and what Martin Luther King did to it. I was a little disappointed on how yesterday played out. Now, I understand people's concerns. There's a lot of call of, you know, white people are sanitizing history by just bringing out the happy, go happy, glory quote. So there's a lot of posts mocking some of the Republicans who had, you know, made some sort of statement about loving Martin Luther King Day because, of course, some of them have made other decisions in the past few years that are a little bit more controversial on how they affect the civil rights of today.
Absolutely.
The historian in me gets really bugged by that. Just because we're idolizing a past leader doesn't mean that we don't have our own mistakes and our own things to deal with. You know, people are posting how like, people act like they like Martin Luther King today, but in 1966 it was, you know, 33% is all that supported him. And it's like, well, great. So we've had progress. Like, why are we mad that people actually see that change he brought. And so my biggest concern is that people politicized yesterday to bring it down to current politics. I understand the reasonings. I think my biggest concern was just that, you know what, idolizing this man or building a monument, he's the newest monument on the National Mall, isn't a negative thing. And yes, there are people today who could make better change, but you know what, the man preached peace. There's a reason he separated himself from Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Even though they were contemporaries and they were fighting for the same cause and they had different routes, there's a reason they weren't always in the same room together. And I hate when people make these direct comparisons. King wasn't calling for violence. There was multiple times where he chose to do something that wasn't the most logical. He was a reverend.
Yeah.
He took a religious route that a lot of people don't like to acknowledge, that he actually has a lot of very Christian-centered meetings and focuses on that. And you know what? I'm not even trying to talk about the other civil rights leaders, but I was a little disappointed on how politicized it became yesterday.
I don't know. I mean, with any major holiday, with any major figure, people are always going to politicize it. It's no different with Christmas or with Thanksgiving or any holiday. I mean,
we should have the Christmas spirit all year.
Right, the war on Christmas, you know, etc.
Yeah.
We should respect our veterans all year. Yeah, we should, but
I prefer one day, but yeah, sure. But on a more serious note, absolutely, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. is one of the greatest leaders we've had in American history. My grandfather marched in the March on Washington. I tear up every time. I watch that speech every Martin Luther King Day, and I try to occasionally during the year to kind of remind myself where our country used to be and where we are now, and how much work we still have to go. Not necessarily to defend the people that are politicizing Martin Luther King Day,
You're about to.
I'm not defending them, but I think it is certainly important to understand, how violent that time was for he and his people. How he was murdered. Of course, not because he wanted it, Grant. Of course not.
Being violent in the name of Martin Luther King today is
ridiculous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying back then, obviously, he faced, he was in jail for years of his life for marching peacefully. You know, people were, being sprayed down with, fire hoses and all these horrible things for marching for equality. So I think it definitely is important to understand how hard they had it and how it wasn't just some peaceful, happy-go-lucky march that he went on.
No, for sure.
So I think that's really what I take from it. And again, I don't think we should be politicizing Martin Luther King Jr. Day as much probably as what happened, but
I guess I'm not against people furthering the movement by calling back to him. It's the criticism of positive statements about Martin Luther King. Let's add to it instead of just making it divisive.
I understand. I understand that opinion.
One of the big retweeted ones yesterday was, well, it's easy for them to, call to him because he's dead, and this is something that they do all the time. And it's like those they, them divisive words are irritating to me, because if we're trying to live in the world that the dream comes from, that the dream is, the one he states, then we need to be looking for more together. Now, I understand the other side where people say, you know what, white people just like to pretend that we're already at peace and there's nothing else to change and let's just practice world peace, and you know what, there's still positive change to happen. I get that. But Travis, you said you had something about this earlier. Let's hear it, man.
Well, I was just at the rock climbing wall yesterday with my girlfriend McKenna, and by the way, she's gonna be pissed when she finds out that I'm on the show right now. Actually, on this board, there's a little statement that says have McKenna and Travis come on for a relationship special, but then there's a big arrow pointing to it that says no, and then under it says hell no. Actually,
that's the shit show.
Now, we were at the rock wall yesterday, and at the arc, I'm gonna throw that just like you threw at athletics, so I'm gonna do
there
that.
You go.
Anyway, and we were just saying, like, we love Martin Luther King, because we got a day off school, and maybe we always a plus. Like, I was actually bugging her a lot because I was next to some people on the rope over, and I kept saying, like, isn't this what Martin Luther King would have wanted? Just us at the arc right now, rock climbing. And it was just really embarrassing for her. So, nothing too political, just a little fun, but he's a good man. He got us a day off, so he obviously did something good.
I think there is something to be said. People were pointing out that Utah was actually the last state in America to recognize Martin Luther King Day. That's not something we should be proud of.
Disappointed, but not surprised.
You know, and that's comes with its own set of politics. And I think
just gonna sip my cup of water over here.
Could have done better. We've got a little frog sipping his water.
That's right.
That's right.
Happening right now. But anyways, on that topic, let's move over to the shithole countries that these people came from, right?
Yeah, I mean, I to repeat myself, disappointed but not surprised, right? I mean, come on, man. He's the same man who's called NFL players sons of bitches, you know, called Mexicans rapists and criminals. I mean, come on. Like, it's
not surprised.
This is more of the same. And I hate to feel desensitized to it because it doesn't make it any better. But I just, man, it's just more of the same from the administration and from President Trump. So, again, like we've said probably 200 times on this podcast, he is our president. We hope he gets better, but he keeps disappointing us. So,
yeah, and so some of those of you who don't know what happened in a supposed-to-be private meeting, Trump basically said that immigrants right now are coming from, quote, shithole countries. And he would like to see more people from basically white Europe.
Norway.
Said Norway specifically. Some of the sentiment was basically, let's get educated people in from Asia and Europe rather than accepting otherwise refugee just situations where people are trying to live the American dream. So, controversial. I think it's pretty controversial in Utah. Immigration is always an interesting topic. Utah Mormons tend to have a weird take on it. Herbert was the only governor to support immigration or 10,000 refugees when the refugees were coming in from Syria. It hasn't really made a splash, I won't say, but it is a weird take in Utah. Immigration has a
interesting place. Especially from a conservative state, it's interesting.
Right. Herbert was the only Republican governor, the only one to support the immigration. So
kudos.
But anyways, like Sam said, I don't know if there's much to be said. It's a little bit more
Trump's
Trumpism.
Trump's already said it.
A little bit more Trumpism. on that, Mitt Romney has unofficially, probably running for the Utah Senate seat. He has made some strong statements in the last week against Trump and that comment. It's interesting. You've got kind of two voices right now. You've got people who think that Romney's going to bend into peer pressure and just become another huge Trump supporter, and that's the only way he's going to win Utah. Other people think that he will stick to his guns, be anti-Trump, still take Utah for other reasons, and hopefully be a positive influence in the Republican Party in Utah. That's the one I'm hoping for.
I think that's the one everyone's hoping for.
We'll see.
But you're right. It's going to be tough, especially, you know, in Utah, what could be a tough primary challenge for any candidate. For him to strike that balance between opposing Trump and still wanting to win the nomination. So,
right. A recent poll has Mormons at the number one religious group supporting Trump.
There you go.
With Muslims at the lowest.
For unsurprising reasons. But yeah, it's
interesting.
It's gonna be an interesting race. And, you know, so far the only Democrat that anyone's really heard of is Jenny Wilson. Hashtag vote for Jenny.
Hashtag not gonna win.
Hey man, you never know, right? At
hashtag
Hannah Bundy,
not my
right?
Senator.
Right? Anyways, Grant, shall we move on to the main topic of today's show? The fee board met last Wednesday, correct?
They did.
The first meeting of two meetings that they're going to have. Would you care to give a quick synopsis of what went down?
Yeah, I'm just going to give a synopsis, and I'm going to turn it over to my boy Travis to give us his first take on that. Essentially, two fees were proposed and one adjustment in definition. The computer IT department has asked for a $3 raise to pay for additional software, additional security measures, including upgrading our firewall and some other, basically taking some of our stuff into the cloud. It's supposed to increase our security and just pay for some of those things like Ellucian, Banner, Microsoft Services, etc. There's not too much controversy there. The second one is the athletic fee. They're coming back from a multi-year denial. John Hartwell proposed a fee that would include, it'd be an $8 fee to every student. It's $85,000 in student promotions, $100,000 in tickets for an online ticketing system, $72,000 in general athletic expenses, And I think the rest was dispersed in FanMaker and a few other point systems, some other software technology integration. And then the adjustment came with student media, our own Aggie Radio we're broadcasting on. Coming in, Nate Lauerson asked for the fee that currently is only allotted to be used by the Statesman, our printed paper, to be able to be used by all of the student media, including Aggie Radio and some of the other little small interests like Aggie Cribs that are ran by student media, with the hope that by simplifying the financial process of student media, they'll be able to further the entire, the whole thing, bring it into this century, be able to pay people for the radio, be able to pay people to have some of these websites. Knowing that digital is where things are taking off and that's where things are headed, they just want to adjust this fee. Again, there's no fee increase. That would just be a redefinition of where their fee, which is currently $4, can be used. Travis, give us your take, man.
Well, my first take is just why didn't you said this is the least controversial fee, or it wasn't a fee really, it was just a reclarification. But one of my first questions is just why wasn't this reclarification made in student media 5 years ago? Like, are they really just realizing that digital is where things are going? I don't understand why this wasn't brought up earlier. Because it's not like we're just waking up to digital as the future. Digital was the future 5 years ago, and now we're in the post-future of digital future. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not too controversial, but that's my first thought.
I think the interesting thing there, just to, sorry to interject, is just
Aggie Radio. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Aggie Radio has only been going 10 years.
That's for damn sure.
Aggie Radio's only been going 10 years. Only the last 2 years have they gone FM. So I'd say probably the reason that it hasn't happened in the past is just different management styles, as well as Aggie Radio actually meaning something for the first time in the last few years.
Because of this podcast, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Shit Show is actually the number one funder for student media.
Revolutionizing Aggie Radio.
You have 77,000 fellow listeners out there, guys.
Yeah, so definitely. If you're like, oh, I don't know if this podcast is like, well, no one cares. You should be listening to it. All right, what else, Trev?
So that's the first thing I thought of. The second thing, so if, for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm the science editor, actually. So I was actually surprisingly complacent, I guess, towards athletics fee. Maybe complacent isn't the right word. I was surprisingly neutral towards the athletics fee when I heard it proposed, because I don't want to say I came in with a bias towards the athletics department, but I kind of came in with a bias towards the athletics department that they, that they're going to ask for money, and I'm probably not going to like what they're going to have to propose. But listening to the proposal, I actually did see some value in what they were proposing, which was surprising to me. I think that just like first take from their presentation was like, interesting.
Oh, wow, athletics.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, damn, like what? Whoa. But, I mean, the thing that was concerning to me, most of all, I don't really care what they propose or plan to do. They have only been in the green for a year now, and they have a track record of about 10 years of being negative in their budget. And so that was my first red flag, is like, maybe if you guys are coming year three, year four, you want some more money, you've had a good, solid track record of, you know, being fiscally responsible. I could see getting on that, but to come to me after 1 year and be like, oh yeah, guys, we're doing so good with our money, like, give us more of it, I don't know if I really agreed with that. And I don't even care about the breakdown necessarily, just that it's like, you gotta prove yourself for a couple more years before maybe I'm comfortable.
So what do you think about some of the proposed changes, I guess? Like I mentioned earlier, online ticketing, a fan point system, etc.
I think that John Hartwell said it best. He said explicitly that these were wants and not needs for the athletics department, and that was a direct quote from him. So I think he put it best. They're wants and not needs, and they're not necessary for the good health and functioning of the athletics department as a whole. So I don't really see a value.
Okay. What about the computer fee?
The computer fee brings us into another issue that me and you have discussed briefly, Grant, just about tier two tuition versus fees, like where that should be allocated. And I think one of the issues that we've discussed is that, should this be a student fee, or should this just be added on to tier two tuition because everybody benefits, faculty benefits, employees benefit, students benefit. So The computer fee was proposed as almost a rotation. Like, okay, well, we've, like, increased... what were they called? Kickbacks from employees? Or how did they describe that, Grant?
It was like...
It was like as they hire another employee, they pay a certain percentage of their salary.
Basically divided by the departments, and each department is designated a specific number based on how many employees they have.
Yeah. I think. So they're basically saying, like, we've paid on this end, and then tuition's covered this, so now it's kind of time for student fees to now take a step into the game and, you know, help fund this security. There are these new security measures that we need. So I don't know if that's exactly the right designation for this. This money, to be honest.
So if you were to say right now what you predict to happen in a week, what do you think we're looking at?
I think a lot of people felt similarly to how I did with the athletics fee. I don't think that our view is a widespread view. With the computer fee, I think that fee will just pass just because it just is common sense. But I don't think many people actually look into the intricacies of placing it somewhere else versus passing it as a student body. But athletics, I could go either way, though, to be honest. I would assume no, but I think there's some growing support for the athletics fee. How do I put this? That we should pass it just because we haven't for a few years. Like, that's the...
Not a good reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know. Like, but that was a reason that was voiced. It's like, well, it's been like 3 or 4 years, right? Like, we can't stop them from getting funding forever. It's like, well, yeah, we can.
Watch me.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it kind of brings me back to what my role as a senator is, and that's to, you know, guard student fees as much as I possibly can. And obviously I only have one vote, but...
But you got one vote.
I got one vote, yeah. So...
Yeah, I mean, it's... The least informed person on here about student fees.
Read the Statesman, or, man.
As a non-voting member of the fee board, I think, I don't know, I...
You're one of my constituents.
That's right, I am, that's true, Grant. I'm voicing my opinion to my senator. Go Chess.
And you think somebody wants to advocate for the whole student body would have a little foreknowledge.
Well, good one. I will say this, I think I agree with Travis that, you know, if I were in your guys' position, I would definitely try to protect students from more fees. That would kind of be my baseline position as far as how I would approach student fees. In terms of the computer fee, I think it definitely makes sense. I agree. I think it'll pass easily. I think it's common sense that, you know, we need to pretend in an age of increased, you know, cybersecurity threats, you know, you never know what can happen on a college campus. So I think that something that's very important, no matter where it gets allocated, it needs to get done. As far as athletics go, I think I've been pretty outspoken about how I'm against athletics fees in general. Just because, I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but we've been seeing decreased attendance at games, just a decreased interest in athletics in general. I think that's kind of sad, but at the same time, I think that might just be where university life is going in general. I think either we can make it more expensive for students in the short term, or we can just go with the trend. I don't know. I think that athletics brings a meaningful college experience.
Hard to quantify, though.
It's hard to quantify. Absolutely. I think it brings a meaningful experience to a small group of students, but that experience is very important to that group of students.
Yeah.
So it's a really tricky situation.
Well, we discussed it in fee board that it's kind of the issue of branding, right? Like, it's something you can talk about extensively and say the university needs to brand itself, and athletics is part of that brand. But then you ask another question beneath that and say, well, how much influence does athletics have in the branding of the university? Like, quantify that for me. And it's just impossible to do. So you can
absolutely
talk about branding all you want, that's what it's used for, but you can't really.
Well, and I think you ask students their reason for coming to USU. If you ask a random student, I don't think they'd say athletics. I really don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's my hot take of the day, I guess. I just don't think that when people think of Utah State University, they don't think of you know, the football team. I don't think they do. I think they think of the community that we have on campus. Think about their college. I think about the incredible professors that they have and the traditions that we have at the school. I think that athletics plays an important part in those traditions, but I just don't think that that's something that is extremely important for the vast majority of students. But again, hard to quantify, and it's something where we kind of have to tread lightly because it's very, very important to a key constituency of the student population.
Some of us are running for positions.
That's true. That's true.
All right. So he's treading a little more carefully than Trump would, right, I guess.
Before I get started, what
to the 40 people listening to this podcast?
7,700. Are you kidding? We said 7,700.
To the 77,000 people.
To the many.
To the many potential voters.
Hard to quantify.
You know, it's a branding issue.
It's really a branding issue. Definitely. Yeah. For sure.
Let's be honest, Sam.
Damn you, Grant.
If the people listening to this podcast aren't willing to vote for you, we have some real branding issues.
We definitely do. We definitely do.
Anyways, we'll talk about some of those deeper elections on later episodes.
Yes, we will.
But do you have anything on the computer feed? Do you think it's just you where Travis is at? You think it's just going to pass?
I think it will definitely pass, and I think that it's necessary. I mean, I don't know the intricacies of, you know, having it as a student fee or part of tier 2 tuition.
I'm sure Grant will discuss that.
I'm sure he will. I think that, you know, physical security for students is important, and what's almost just as important is the security of their information. And so I think an increased emphasis on that, and if they believe that they need that extra money from students, I think that's 100% well worth it.
I think something they have going for them as well is that when they presented, there were two routes they could take. They could take a full security measure that cost a lot more money for students, or they could, it was like subscribing for some type of security protection that did the job, but it wasn't the same price. So they examined, okay, we need this protection, but we're gonna actually use a service that's gonna be cost effective too. So I think they have that going for them as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, with the computer fee, it gets a little interesting. What Travis brought up before is there's a little bit of concern. I believe that these improvements are needed. Travis heard me say in our meeting as well, if you guys don't know, university employees have to use a system called Duo.
Yeah.
Duo is a dual authentication system that requires people to either have a physical, basically flash drive, or more commonly send a notification to your phone that you then have to accept or respond if depending on if you have the app or not. But
I think Duo is a Pokemon as well. Anyway,
similar but not the same. Gotta catch them all.
Duo.
It's an expensive system. They have chosen not to put it on all students because it would cost them, I think they said, $100,000.
Yeah, that's correct.
In my opinion, it's a lot of money, but it could be spent. Travis heard me say that. I don't usually advocate for it. If you guys don't know, it doesn't matter how long or fanciful your password is. On the cybersecurity front, it's pretty much crap at this point. They're not brute forcing most things. They're going in back ways. There's a reason that all these credit card hacks have happened in the last few years where they go in through the back end, they work through the company to break down their software, not the front door like they maybe did in the past. So two-factor authentication is really what allows encrypted information to stay encrypted. But anyways, I think it's going to pass. I'm on with Travis. I think it's going to pass either way. My only suggestion, I don't think it's going to be taken, is just that the funding comes from four different sources. It can come from Tier 1, which is what the state designates all students should pay. It can come from Tier 2, which is what Dr. President Noelle Cockett has the opportunity to assess the university's...
Put some respect on her name. Sorry. Put some respect on her name.
She has the opportunity to assess the university's needs and then basically adjust that, usually upwards.
never down. Never down.
But she has the ability to charge students. And you as a student usually just see that collapsed as tuition. But it's really separated into one designated by the state, one designated by the university. And of course, we have what I call Tier 3, just differential tuition based on each college's needs and their assessing to that, directly to their students. Right now, I think arts, engineering, education, and business are the only ones with it.
Hashtag go science. We do not have differential tuition.
None of us in here are paying. Actually, I am for education on my courses, but whatever.
I think I am too, though, because I'm taking... No, I'm not.
And that's a little bit controversial. A lot of people are mad about that, but what it really comes down to is tier three is just a use tax. Those are people who are in those programs should be paying for them so that we're not all subsidizing the Huntsman School and otherwise. But moving on, we have the fees.
Yeah, for real.
Those three tuitions all get charged through one part of your account, and then you have student fees. And student fees are something that we as a student government get to decide every year. We send a recommendation.
Recommendation.
To those above us, those high and mighty on the trustees board and the president, and they make the final decision on if the fees are going to go up or down, but usually up. Anyways, but what my concern is that on the back end, on my end, on the student's end, it looks differently. Different funding sources aren't willing to pay for fees. So for example, my military money will usually waive tuition. That doesn't matter if it's on tier one, two, or three. Whether I was in the Huntsman School or whether I wasn't, they're willing to look at cutting that. But fees often are not included because fees at some schools are $400 for athletics or anything else. And the government and a lot of other agencies or a lot of other scholarship presenters don't want to take on the fact that you want better food at your university. Right. You want a better athletics department. So fees get relegated to being paid by a lot of students out of pocket, and that's why I would like to see something as necessary to academics as computers, those increases to always come through the tuition side. Whether they get assessed to the departments like we mentioned earlier, that's just going through tier two or tier one eventually, right? It all breaks down. You're getting charged either way. And so to me, we should not have this pretend idea of a cycle where the students take a turn. You pay for all three turns. You pay for it, whether it's coming from the departments, whether it's coming from tier two, or whether it's coming through fees. It's just shifting it. It's just mixing the pot of the same crap. So to me, I don't think it should be something, if we want better computers, if we want some of these things, sure, but 2% of it, or 2% increase for salaries, which is part of the computer fee as well, some of those things shouldn't be included in my opinion. I do support the security measures, but anyways.
Well, and here's the thing too, Grant, is I think it's a little bit nefarious, and I guess I used that word very carefully, for President Cockett to be shifting where she's getting the funding from anyway, because when you do that, it just makes it seem like in the end you're paying less, right?
Right.
And I think perception is sometimes greater than what you're actually paying, right? Yeah.
Right.
So I think students are going to feel good. They're going to feel placated, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not paying any extra money, or I just took one out of three turns. But if you really look, it's like, you took three out of three, man. You took four thirds, probably. I'm sure they found another way to charge
you. You know, maybe that's potentially on student leaders to inform.
Hey, your constituents. You know
what? That's what we're doing on the show right now.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Precisely.
And the thing is, something
to consider.
The man proposing it even said, I can't quote him on it, but he straight up said, every once in a while, we used to get money directly from the state to fund these. That hasn't happened in 5 years. TLDR, you've been paying for it every single increase since that happened. For the last 5 years, if it's not coming from the state, it's coming from you. There's no other university funding. It's not coming from private.
Absolutely.
It is coming from you. If it's not a direct grant or a direct fund from the state legislature, 100%. It's coming from you. I mean, and then you can get down to the farther out of, it's all yours, it's all taxpayer money. It's paid into the system, but let's be honest, most college students aren't actually paying taxes.
Taxation is theft, right, Grant?
I hope to pay heavily into that system one day.
You said it.
Yes, precisely.
Travis's shithead little kids will be contributors to this whole system.
Grant has this thing where he thinks that just because I want to be a physician, my children somehow will just have this like loose grasp of reality, and somehow because his kids will be poor and barely able to eat, you know, they'll have this.
They'll be humble.
He equates humility with being impoverished, and I don't see the connection, but whatever. It's not always the case.
Standard white capitalist over here. Anyways.
Oh my goodness.
I was the only one to call it out. Apparently the rumor going amongst our advisors is that I'm the one who's against the student media change. I was told that earlier earlier in the faculty meeting they all had today that there's only one opposing voice, and everyone guessed Grant. You know what?
You're so edgy, Grant. You're so edgy.
Everyone hates me. Anyways, here's my thing. I would call upon anyone running next year for any position to just consider this, that it might be a dollar, it might be $6, it might be $8. It's easy to say athletics is only going up 6%, but at a 6% rate over 10 years, that's 60%, and that's an insane increase.
Absolutely.
I just confirmed that on my iPhone. 10 times 6 is 60.
Nice, thanks.
Quick math.
It's easy to look at being at the dollar store, right? And it's just a dollar, it's just a dollar, it's just a dollar. And by the end of the day, you've got a cart full of $100 worth of crap you didn't need.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it, fees. It's right now, the most your fees could increase right now are $11. It's easy to say, well, that's just a burger and fries and like whatever, like just a small meal. But
combo and Morty's, right?
Right, exactly, right? Like you just get that Coke urge and get away from the Pepsi contract for just a second. $11. But you know what? That adds up down the line. It's easy for us to say when we're on scholarship and we have all these different funding opportunities, but I think we always need to look at the student who's working multiple jobs and has to pay everything out of pocket. And over time, that crap adds up. Tuition's already soared in the time I've been here for a number of reasons. I'm not even criticizing that. I think we need to do everything we can to keep these low, and that's at a state level, that's at the university level, that's at a student fee level. And like Travis mentioned, you know, we are supposed to be stewards of student fees. I've heard that phrase so many times. That when I hear this is a want, not a need, I think, well, then let's not.
Yeah, if you start your presentation like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not the greatest way.
Now, why would you do that?
And if we're going to talk about perception, in that presentation, we also heard a statement like, you know, it's going to cost, oh, it's just so you know. Okay, let me back up. If we move over to an online ticketing system, all football games and basketball games, at least on the men's side, will be ticketed. He wasn't exactly clear if that's general admission tickets or if we're looking in the basketball arena for being reserved seats, similar to how football was last year. So there's some concern on how groups of friends will go. But more importantly, you'll have to get a ticket for basketball, which is unprecedented so far.
Yeah.
And then for every one of those tickets, $1 charged to the university. His statement was, we don't want to pass that on to students, and that's why we're trying to accept it here. Which, again, bullshit, man. All of that is getting passed on. All you actually did was you took a percentage of $8. Let's say that's, what, $3 or $4 of the fee? $100. Yeah, it's a third. So it's about $3, $2.66, exactly. You're charging every single student $2.66 so that some students don't have to see the dollar charge when they go to a basketball game. All you did was subsidize other students' tickets. And it's a direct student. One student got a ticket, and that dollar got charged to the student body. And to me, again, it's perception. You're just mixing the pot of where funding's coming from.
Right.
That concerns me.
Well, it's not like people are cramming themselves into basketball games these days anyways.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off on this, but it seems like, at least from my perspective, that not having physical tickets increase football attendance.
It's
for me.
Wonderful.
I think it's wonderful because then you can go at the last second and not feel like, oh man, I really wish I had gotten a ticket. You can just walk in whenever you want, and it's a great thing.
Right. And here's the thing that concerns me with the ticketing system, besides the money being passed down, is this idea that students are asking for it. Yeah. Someone made the statement in the fee board of like, I've never once heard a student say, man, I wish this ticket was on my phone. never once. And furthermore, Director Hartwell directly answered when somebody said, what happens if they don't have this? Can we fund FanMaker? Can we fund this online ticketing system another way? Pretty innocent question on base level. But his response was, well, if I were to bring this to the coaches, if I asked Matt Wells to cover this, you know, if the coaches had to make the choice, they're going to choose needs over wants, and they're just not going to choose this. So you're telling me the students don't want it, the coaches don't think it matters enough to fund it. Red flags. Yeah. I understand that these are digital improvements. A lot of the conversation, similar to what Travis said about, like, well, they haven't got money in a while, was centered around this appeal to progress, I think is the term here. Basically of, like, we're going to hold back and not move into the future of, like,
that was like said, the future. That was
like, come on. Like, I swipe my ID and it digitally says, this is your guy, and I walk in. I'm fine with that digital future.
And you know what? Maybe it's
not a new iPhone. It's not a MacBook.
Maybe it's a good thing they haven't raised athletics fees in 5 or 6 years.
Well, and the comment was made as well by somebody in the fee board that you don't know what you need until it's given to you, right? And there was also a comment made that, you know, Henry Ford, before his time, before we moved into the automobile or before the iPhone, we didn't know how much we needed those things. And I specifically responded to that comment made during the fee board, and I remember responding something to the effect of, like, I don't understand how those examples are relevant, really. Like, this new ticketing system isn't going to change the USU experience to a degree that's going to make a dent. Right. You know? I just don't see. And like you said, Grant, the person who made that comment in fee board as well, that nobody's asking for this, I think that's pretty founded too.
Absolutely.
And I guess what it comes down to is we're going to make a vote next week. Like Travis, I think I was a lot more taken back. I think something I want to just clarify here is John Hartwell has done a great job. As an athletic director, he came in, he has brought our program into the green, as Travis mentioned earlier. We've only got a single year, but, you know, the guy used to be a CPA. He values a good financial status, and I think he's done great at that. And you know what? Our football team did better than last year. Our basketball team's hopefully on track to do better than last year. But, you know, I'm going to say it, and everyone's going to give me crap because I've heard it about 15 times. Anyone who supports this fee response is, well, the teams aren't going to get better until more people show up. Here's a problem with that reasoning. You have a fallacy, right? A equals B equals C equals D. Call it a slippery slope. It's kind of the opposite, right? It's the, if this happens, this gets better. If this gets better, this gets better. If this gets better, this gets better. And by the time you connect free crap at a game, like a t-shirt,
right,
or automated ticketing system to increase attendance, and then you attribute increased attendance to better winning games because of better recruitment, you've gone through like 3 or 4 layers there, and that's where a fallacy is created, right?
Yeah.
You've connected too many things, and you're implying that if we give out more t-shirts, our team wins more, and that's crap, right?
You didn't mean to get there. You accidentally got to that point, but you're still there.
Right, and I've seen the stats. The years with the most attendance, 45,000 at football games, 2010, 2008, 2009, 2011, guess what? We were killing it. We were winning bowl games. We had Gary Anderson, and he left for a contract that's worth 2.5-3 times more than it is. And I'm not here to influence coaching decisions. I'm not here to tell John Hartwell who to hire, who to fire. I'm not here to say this is what needs to happen. I get that our state legislature doesn't allow as much money to be spent on coaching budgets as other states, and I'm okay with that.
I'm definitely okay with that.
I just think we need to realize that there's just going to be these years where there's off years, and there's years that they're on years, and we're going to build coaches, and they're going to start winning, and then they're going to go take a contract somewhere else because someone else pays them more. And until we get to a point where we can get more private money, like the University of Utah has with a $10 million media contract, then that's not going to happen. And you can't just always put this on the student. My last thing I want to say, I can get into the specifics of how I don't think more t-shirts
Let's make hear a it, damn Grant. Difference. Come on, Grant. I want to hear it.
I think there's enough swag given away at games. I really don't hear students complain about it. When they do complain, they say, like, oh, there should have been 3,000 black shirts instead of 1,000 black shirts.
But what about that quilt, man? The quilt that you make at the end of your college experience with all the shirts, you know?
The quilt we all say we're going to make,
yeah,
and, like, one in 1,000 students ever
Grandma
pays.
Needs to make that quilt, Grant.
Yeah, and that's my thing, is there this idea that more crap means more attendance is crap, in my opinion. I think FanMaker, yeah, the fee system's, I mean, sure, a point system's a nice idea. I don't see it as a reason. I'm not asking for the athletic fee to be lowered. I do support Aggie Athletics. I go to them. There's a reason we've started every podcast with a recap of the football and basketball game.
Certainly wasn't my idea.
But I think it's important to realize that that's different from nickeling and diming my students, who some support and some don't. Our students are already paying, what is it, 130 $132. Is that right, Trev?
Yeah, $132.
$132 for athletics. I'm not asking for that to be lower.
Well, here's the thing too, Greg. Here's the thing. Here's the thing as well. Let me try and stop your train that's on its way out. But I think there's a growing sentiment as well that stop the fees where you can, because at the end of the day they're just going to keep going up. You know, like they never go away. And I feel like that's a growing concern among the student body. Is just they're going to pass. They're going to keep passing. So why don't we just stop some while we still can? Right.
Right. And I think, and you know, I don't know if that's a good reason not to vote a fee. I really don't. If something
I'm not
is
saying
needed,
that's why I'm voting. Just to say.
Right. If something's needed, then let's do it. My last statement here, I don't even want to go into it. I think 1,000 people have heard my opinion on this by this point. You know, I'm going to vote with my conscience. There are students, there are students in my college. Jacob Bambuel, head of the herd, vice president of athletics and campus rec. He's a religious studies major. He is adamant on this. You know what? That's great. And I have a lot of other students. Felicia Gallegos is all for this fee, at least partially, you know. And there's other students. And I'm in a weird spot. I feel like my college is fairly split on support of athletics or not.
You've got my support, Grant.
You've got $132 athletics. There's my support. That's what I have to say about it. My biggest concern, and I'm going to leave it here and then hand it back to these boys, is what it comes down to is that right now, Travis and I account for every dollar spent out of our budgets. If we go spend $10 on tape for Science Week or Chass Week, we mark it. And then every student has an ability to literally see dollar for dollar where our money is being spent. And that is true with every part of USUSA. That is true with every part of student media. That is mostly true with every single other fee category. With the library, they can show me exactly which journals were paid for with student fees. With the computer lab, they can tell us exactly what bought new chairs and what bought new software and where all of that money is being spent. And that's true with Aki Blue Bikes, and that's true with most other fee categories. Athletics has 12 revenue sources, including $5 million from student fees. They have three expenses: men's athletics, females athletics, and general. There is no accountability to where my money is going. Now you can just say like, well, that's what every other...
Do the cocaine analogy, man. Do the freaking cocaine analogy.
For it?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, go for it. One of the big responses I hear is, well, that's how every other department is being ran. That's how all athletics departments are being ran across the nation. And so what that is an appeal to comparison. Now, what my appeal to comparison would then be, well, that's not how every other department in this university is doing it. And yes, other athletic departments might be doing it, but other departments also might be making more money. And if they're not, corruption is corruption, right? Like, let's just open the doors. All I'm asking for is a separate budget where that $5 million in student fees goes into. And then at the end of every year, they're accountable to where that $5 million, that exact $5 million, or more or less, is spent every year. If that's going to be academic opportunities for athletes, if that's going to be promotion, if that's going to be, and that's probably what they're going to sell it off as, right? They're going to say, here's all the free crap we gave students, here's what we subsidized, here's the event we paid for, you know. Basically, everything that the herd uses is going to fall into that budget, and they're going to find some clean places to make it look like every dollar was spent efficiently. That's fine. Travis's joke here is my appeal to emotion. Cocaine analogy, and here's my analogy.
I love this analogy.
Can't wait to
you have $10,000. $2,000 of it came from your close friend. $2,000 of it came from your parents. $2,000 of it came from the university you attend as a scholarship, and $4,000 of it, or whatever, came from the government in the form of a grant. Right? You spent $6,000 on tuition. It's kind of a realistic number, and you spent $2,000 of it on housing. So you've spent eight of your $10,000. You choose to spend $2,000 left over on cocaine. You have the choice to do that because you've got $10,000. But at the end of the year, when everyone asks where their money went, your parents' money went to tuition, the government's money went to tuition, your friends' money went to housing. You can shift everything you need. No one paid for the cocaine. Because there's no definite income and there's no definite outcome on where that money is being spent. And that's the concern. It's not that athletics is being corrupt and spending money in the wrong places. It's that if it were happening, there's no accountability.
You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. There's no itemized receipts. There's no itemized. I'm not looking for what me and Travis have. I don't care where the tape was spent. I don't care where the jersey was bought. I don't care that. I just want to see this is what was spent on athletic equipment. This was spent on bullshitting with donors and trying to get money. I want to see this is was travel. This was media rights.
This was spent on having USA officers in the box during the game.
Exactly. Those things need to be itemized. Those things need to be put out there. And I want my $5 million. I don't care. There's a $35 million budget. You do whatever you need to do with your $30 million. If there was no student fee money, then I would just know it was over my head like everything else is in this university. But I do have control over one thing, and if that's a no or yes vote based on that, then my answer is no, because a lot of people have been saying that this isn't the time or place to restructure this fee. It's just asking yes or no.
Yeah, when is the time? When is the place?
You know what? And then my answer is no, because here's what it comes down to. If you ask for $8 from me this year, and that's a total of $297,000 to their budget, you can tell me how much of it goes to general athletics. What the hell is that? You can tell me how much of it goes to FanMaker, how much of it goes to ticket sales, how much of it goes to swag gear. But at the end of the day, in 3 years' time, if John Hartwell left, or even if he didn't, they decided, FanMaker, it isn't working. We don't like it. We're going to pull that expense. We're going to drop tickets, or we're going to switch to this other system that costs half as much. Pretty soon, there's $200,000 that were originally allocated for these digital systems that are no longer being spent there. And those fees aren't going to go away. They're just going to be spent on whatever else they want, whether that's swooning new recruits or paying another salary or whatever they want, because that money has no direct tie to it. Because it's not in a separate account, when they stop using it for something, that money doesn't stay in an account. It just goes back to the general fund. I don't feel comfortable with discussing these fees every year. And people say, well, just talk to Director Hartwell. Why don't you just suggest that? You know what? That's BS. I was in the fee board meeting last year. That was a concern brought up last year. From my understanding, it's been brought up multiple years. I've heard people who have been around for 10 or 20 years say it's been brought up since they were around.
Well, here's the thing, Grant.
I'm not bringing any money.
It's just a fusion of responsibility, right? It's because you have elected student leaders that are interchangeable every year.
And every year.
They can keep proposing the same thing.
They proposed last year almost exactly to me and Travis.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Eric Olson, the engineering...
Throw it up enough times, hope it will stick.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Olson, the engineering senator, said one time that being an advisor and student involvement is all about placating student concerns, right? Or if you're the athletics director, it's all about placating student concerns because you just have to placate them long enough until they move on or graduate.
Right.
And then you just sell to the next bunch.
Right. If me and you can't get something changed while we're in office, it's just not going to happen. You can sell it to me a year later as, last year, Academic Fee Board really tried to get this crap passed, and it met too many roadblocks. Let's not worry about it. Let's move on. And I don't know any better. I appreciated Nadir Takarli coming out about the Huntsman differential tuition after he left office. Once that article was written, there's something to be said that, unfortunately, Travis and I, as scholarship students, we can speak our mind as much as we want, but at the end of the day, and I'm not accusing anyone of doing this, there are people who control the money that we've been paid for scholarship. And if we had ever had a fear that that would be taken away from us, then we're going to make decisions differently. And as soon as that stands, then student leaders don't really have true autonomy, true ability to change a damn thing.
True.
Anyways, we're coming up on 55 minutes. I didn't intend to go this long.
Definitely not.
If you have any takes, please, Travis and I, Sam, he's moving in. He's running for a position next year. All of us would love to hear your concerns on this fee board, on things you'd love to see changed. Please reply at the Sagebrush Show or hit me up at ZGrantBest.
Thanks for having me today, Grant.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to have you on. Just one last thing I'd like to say.
Go.
No matter what your position are on fees, next year, I'd love to advocate on behalf of USU students. And I think I'll leave it at that.
Nice plug. Sam N. Jackson on Twitter. Travis, do you have anything else to say before we head out?
I just want to say it's been a It's been a real shit show today, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Hey, thanks, man. If you guys want to hear a small update on how nothing's updated on the legislative session, stay tuned after this. Katie Miner will be bringing us an update. Thanks. Bye.
We want to hear your hot takes from the state legislature. What's going on? What's popping?
Hot takes from the state legislature. Okay, the session starts on Monday, as you know.
Yes, I do know that.
And the discussion today was how we deal with the number of bill files that we get. So right now, the state legislature is looking at processing about 1,300 to 1,400 bills this session in 45 days. And lots of those are bills that were filed in May of last year, but specific instructions won't be given until some point during the session.
That sounds...
So the question is, how do we prioritize different pieces of legislation?
That sounds very exciting. Don't you think that could be solved by, I don't know, just expanding the session by 10 or 20 days?
Probably, but that would defeat the purpose of having a part-time legislature.
No, I mean, they have part-time legislatures that meet for 3 or 4 months. Do they not?
Right, yeah. But it's hard to... I mean, it's even hard for these guys to give up their jobs for as long as they do. For example, I work for Senator Hilliard, and he gives up his practice for a month, for sure, probably 3 out of the year, just to deal with interim committees and stuff like that. So they're busy people.
Interesting. Are there any, like...
Any new bills?
Any new bills? Anything exciting that, you know, our listeners would care to get excited about? I don't know. I'm sure...
Do you have anything else, Katie?
Bill filing is, you know, that's a hot topic these days, but did you have anything just possibly that else, you know, you might want to share?
Let's see. You guys hit most of the major big ones when you were on the show last week. But definitely, once it comes to Monday and all of the protected files start to be released, that's when we're going to get all of the interesting ones that are going to cause some problems. So we'll see then.
Okay. Well, we will certainly hit you up again next week. Thank you, Katie, for your legislative update on the Sagebrush Shit Show.
Sure thing. Have fun.
Thanks. Bye, Katie.